Welcome to the Turkey Hunter Podcast, the original all turkey, all the time podcast with your co-hosts Andy Galliano and Cameron Weddington.
In our weekly podcast, we're going to bring you some wild turkey calling tips like this.
From there, we're going to go into she's aggravated. There's another hen that's challenged her, or she's challenging another hen. She's going to cut an excited yelp.
Advice from old pro turkey hunters like this.
The turkeys typically don't like, I think, more times than not, to travel in an easterly direction into the sun first thing in the morning, especially after he gets up. It's a blinding thing. It's just like you. It's hard for you to see into the sun. Mm-hmm. So if I have a choice, I'm going to try to make it so that I'm going to be on the west side in the morning, east side in the afternoon of a turkey.
Exciting live hunts like this.
Holy crap, they're coming.
Then we're going to teach you how to cook your bird with advice such as this.
With some fresh rosemary and garlic, and then cool that off and spread that along the inside of that butterflied turkey breast that we've seasoned on both sides.
Wildlife management tips for your property, especially with turkeys like this.
If you look at the type of habitats that turkeys need for nesting and brooding, that tends to be habitat that can be managed more successfully with growing season fire than with dormant season fire.
And hopefully along the way, we'll get plenty of these.
Well, on November the 28th of 1953, I was hatched. When I popped out of my mom and the baby doctor spanked me on the bottom, I went, oh, and I've been doing it ever since.
I like that.
Thank you for tuning in, and now for this week's show.
Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. You are listening to episode number 475, Keeping It Real with Chubbs, or I guess I should say Kenny Mount, a.k.a. Chubbs, or if you want to go with this title for the show, Nanner Puddin' and Nilla Wafers with Kenny Mount. And
or Nanna Puddin' and Long Range Bearded Hens with Kenny Mount. It's a hodgepodge, man.
Or Grumpy Old Men with Kenny Mount.
Sitting around and complaining about the youth of today with Kenny Mount.
Or Get Off of My Lawn with Kenny Mount. Yeah. And I am your co-host and the guy who has a heck of a good friend who just gave him two more chipmunk traps. So we're about to get real with the monks.
All right. About to get monkey around there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'm your co-host and I'm the guy who is ready to get some fire on the landscape. Man, I'm ready. You know, I have this excitement about turkey season, which is knocking right now. Yeah. But I also have an equal excitement because I got lots of burning I'm wanting to do this year. And this is just my personal observation on our properties. I'm sure someone will write in and let me know this is just a stupid comment. But last year we burned later, like late March, and had a much better burn. We had a much better kill rate on those little saplings we were trying to get rid of.
Yep.
And so I've been waiting this year. You know, there were some pretty good burn days there in February, and not knocking people who have already been out burning. And you may be further south than me, too. But I wanted to wait till on up into March when stuff getting little buds on. When I see little buds on the trees, I feel like you're going to get some good kills if you burn through there.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been waiting on. And, man, this spring's coming on hard right now. Dogwoods are bloomed out, everything, all the ornamental trees and bushes are blooming around here. Turkeys are strutting. Turkeys are gobbling. It's back.
It is upon us. There's no doubt. And, you know, I'm not really seeing a whole lot other than the maples. I'm not seeing any trees that are leafing out just yet, but lots of the ornamentals blooming, just like you said.
Yes.
And yeah, you're going to time it just right if you're waiting on end of March. And since your turkey season doesn't come in until July 1 anyway,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that opens up a huge window really for you,
yeah,
to be able to go in and burn. And here's the thing, you can ask Grant Wood, you can ask Brett Collier, you can ask Mike Chamberlain, you can ask any forester, when is the best time to burn? And the answer is whenever you get the right conditions to burn. Yep. So
that's, you know,
depending on what your goal is, what your mission is, there's different times of the year to burn, and your mission is to get rid of those woody saplings.
Yep.
And that's wait on them to leaf out. And you know what? It's a heck of a lot better to burn the end of March than it is in July or August, just because you don't want to be in the woods in August. Nobody wants to be in the woods. Deer and turkeys don't want to be in the woods in August. They want to be in your house in the air conditioning.
I try to appease them and put them in the freezer, honestly, but
that's air conditioning.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're exactly right. Burn when you can. You know, I'm being a little greedy too, and that I'm just expecting there to be a burn day upon us, and isn't one right now, but basically, anytime from now till about April 10th, I'm comfortable with burning because I don't believe there'll be any nests on the ground at that time. And we got lots to burn. So I am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But turkey season's coming, man. Ready for that. And we've got everyone's, you know, backed by popular demand. Kenneth Mount, a.k.a. Chubbs, is back. And this is going to be a two-part episode, as it almost always is. With Kenny, we don't have short conversations, which I'm glad we don't, because they're always full of good info, good laughs, and we just have a good time talking with him.
And so he takes what would be a 45-minute call and stretches it out to 2 hours because he asks us questions.
Yeah.
We ask him a question, and he answers it, and then he says, well, what do you guys say? What do you guys think?
And you also got to love, you know, there's always a hypothetical situation.
A lot of stuff I've, you know, that I've not really thought about. I mean, he does make you think. There is zero doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the reasons why he's so popular.
Yeah. But before we hop in there, we also want to tell you guys, I believe we told you last week, we want to share again this week. We're selling turkey calls, and we're selling other stuff too on our Shopify store. But we have diaphragm turkey calls for sale on our Shopify store, which is linked in the show notes. We've got a batwing, a ghost cut, and a combo cut available right now. So I think last time we talked, we only had the batwing online. Now we've got 3 calls on there. You can go to my Instagram. I did a video calling on the batwing if you want to hear it, see it. It has our stamp on it, The Turkey Hunter. And these are not being made by Andy and I. We are not skilled enough, so don't let that run you off. They're being made by a really good call maker named Andrew up in Pennsylvania, being made in his basement. I have been to the call manufacturing plant that is his house, and he knows how to make a dang turkey call. So that's why we're using him, and we tested hundreds of calls, it felt like, to get down to these 3.
Yeah, Cameron and I both have inspected the call production facilities and both give a thumbs up.
No doubt. Hey, what do you say before we hop in the interview? We're going to maybe throw in just a quick minute or so of audio of me running the batwing call just so y'all can hear it.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that.
Don't let this scare you off, but if it can make me sound good, it can make anyone sound good.
Well, you know, you and I are just being open and honest. And I think we should play the sound file, even though it probably is going to, there are going to be some people who just shut who just stopped the show.
Yeah. Well, most people have already skipped this part to go to the interview. So,
all right, let's do it. Let's get in there and listen to some of this audio.
All right. Here's a sound file of me running the Pure Turkey Batwing call from the Turkey Hunter podcast.
Thank you.
Sweet.
You know, I said this on Instagram, but that's not bad calling from somebody who I consider to be one of the best turkey reapers around.
Yeah, that's me. I got my knee pads on. That was, you know, when I'm calling in that video, I got the fan in front of my face just ready to roll.
You should maybe think about not crawling so much and calling a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I will. I don't know. I just like to kill them in piles, you know, and those gangs of jakes really do come romping into that strutter decoy, and I like to cut them down about 85, so. Hey, we do enough of this kind of stuff with Kenny, you know, why don't we hop in here, talk to Kenny Mount. If you guys liked what you heard by that call, I don't think you'll be disappointed with the quality of these turkey calls.
No.
Go to the link in the bio, buy you one. Turkey season's coming up. Play it in the truck for a little bit, get used to it, and I think you'll be rewarded with some gobbling turkeys this spring. So hit the link in the bio. Let's hit Kenny Mount's interview. Let's get it rolling.
Let's do it to it.
Hello?
Is this the Kenny Mount?
What you doing, boss?
Oh, man, I just got through eating about a third of a bag of Nilla wafers in anticipation of going to the gym tomorrow.
You have any milk with them?
No. As I get older, I'm getting lactose intolerant, and that's just not a pretty thing to be around.
You're dry eating vanilla wafers. I mean, that's pretty bold.
They're so good that I would crush them up and snort them and be happy.
Do you think we would like banana pudding like we do if it didn't have vanilla wafers?
I'm going to tell you about. I would like it about 70% of what I do now. So, no, I tend to agree with you.
I don't know that the texture of banana pudding would be worth eating if it didn't have vanilla wafers in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's I don't know what it is about banana pudding. I only eat it a couple times a year, but it's just like a vanilla wafer. Like, you can't take one bite.
No.
You know, you can have a... I mean, somebody can put a bowl in front of you like 6 inches high, and pretty good chance you're gonna get it down to nothing, you know, with no intention.
Yeah, yeah.
Just there's just some things in life that, you know, you just have to roll with, like vanilla wafers. There's not a man in this world right now that if you put a bowl of vanilla wafers in front of him and you had 10 of them in there, he would only eat one. And if he did, get up and leave because you can't trust him, you know.
That's the ultimate test.
Uh-huh.
It's a good one. I mean, I've never tried it, but I think it would work.
They should do that right before every presidential debate.
That'd be a good way to go ahead and call some. Of course, we'd have to call both of them, I guess. But
Oh,
Lord. How you boys doing?
I'm doing well. And I cannot complain. Had a busy month at work and first solid month back at work. But, you know, for it not being turkey season, I guess it's pretty good.
The grind starts, doesn't it? Or has started, shall I say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Busting out while we can.
June requires several hours of catch-up usually from all the travels and things. And the mind just hasn't been there for a little bit. So it's a lot of...
Man, is it not just about... And, you know, not being negative by any means. I mean, it's... But on a serious note, I mean, is it not just about the worst month of the year?
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty tough. You know, at least August, you look at it and say, hey, football starts into the month. Yes, it is brutally hot and humid in the Southeast, but football starts. So
you could say that as long as your coach hadn't been Brian Harsin, you could say that. But past couple of years for me, it's... We're getting ready to have to play football. Oh, man, I think I'll go out and rebuild the transmission, even though nothing's wrong with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, that was painful.
Well, look, you know, I went through a whole decade of that before Saban was hired, so it is not lost on me.
Oh, man, everybody goes through it. You know, I mean, it's to have the good, you got to have a lot of the bad.
Yeah,
kind of
sure.
Like turkey hunting.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a lot of similarity.
Yeah. Turkey hunting is way more serious.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Auburn could go like, you know, we could lose like the next 50 games. Would I be mad, depressed, probably lose my family, job, and, you know, end up an alcoholic and getting tattooed up from head to toe, the whole nine yards, no problem. But at the end of the day, that still wouldn't be near as bad as like missing a turkey season, you know?
Ooh. I just can't imagine what that even be like. I hope I never live to see that, live to experience that.
How was the 2023 spring turkey season for you, Kenny?
Man, just, you know, straight up, it's just, it has its ups, it has its downs. And it was, if you had to grade it, I'd grade it an A+. It's, you know, if you hunt them, I assume the three of us hunt them probably about the same. I mean, pretty much every day you can for, you know, 3 months out of the year. I missed a little bit in May this year due to some unforeseen circumstances, but still got to go quite a bit and got to travel all the way up to the, I don't know, fourth day of June, give or take. So, man, anytime you get to do it, you're going to have those days that you just can do no wrong, and then you're going to have a day or two in there or more that you can't do any right. But overall, man, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was fun from start to finish. And like I told you guys last year, man, I'm ready to, I don't want to wish my life away. Let's enjoy it while we're here. I'm ready to go do it again. I'm sure you are too.
Yep. That's pretty accurate. And yeah, I had a great season as well. I hunted less days than I originally anticipated, which seems to always happen. You know, something always happens and comes up where you lose a couple days here and there, but I definitely wouldn't take it for anything, you know, and I'm with you. Can't wait for March to get here again.
Are you still hunting in Tennessee? Is the season still open?
Yeah.
I know they bumped it back a little bit. I thought it was going to run until like Independence Day or something.
It opens next week. About to start.
Man, this time next year, there's no telling where we're going to be. We may just be getting started.
It was interesting. My brother, the second to last weekend of open season was turkey hunting and saw about a dozen poults running around. So, no kidding. Yeah. And then, Andy, you saw a bunch of poults up in another state when you were hunting last weekend.
Hunting hen-up gobblers and dang near stepped on a pile of poults that had to have just hatched.
It just goes to show you, man, there's really no pinpoint any of this stuff, in my opinion, as far as like we all think we know the dates and ranges of when these turkeys are doing what or whatever. But the longer I do it, the more I realize I really don't have a clue. I've had that happen. I've been hunting in Georgia, you know, for as long as I can remember. It's been shutting down about May the 15th, you know, about the middle of the month. And I've been over there hunting before that, you know, first of May or whatever, and seen a hen or a couple of hens with just a whole drove of poults. And then you go down the road and exactly like you said, you've got a turkey that he's ripping and roaring and, you know, may even still have a hen with him or whatever. And it's just odd. It's just this thing. Obviously we have, you know, hens that have nests destroyed and late breeding hens and younger hens get bred later and all that kind of jazz. But man, who really knows how far it goes, you know, and when we try to put this timetable on, and I'm not really certain that's possible because each year seems to kind of throw you a different curveball, you know, due to weather and where I live, food, and so much that goes on in my neck of the woods is driven by mass crop and obviously weather. If we don't have good acorns where I live and where people live in the mountains and stuff, and it can, now, I'm not a biologist, don't get me wrong, but it seems to really affect what goes on the following spring, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I would assume that makes sense because the hens are probably in much better fitness coming into breeding season. I would think that would be a huge help for.
They still mate, you know. Don't get me wrong, but I've always found a gobbler that's fed better. He's eating better in the fall and winter. You know, got a better sponge built up on him. His breast is better, and he's built better for mating. He's just like us. He's thinking about it. Don't get me wrong. But he's not as stressed because he's not as lean. And like I said, these are just off the wall things, not proven, you know, kind of folklore kind of ways to think. But it just seems like that the more they got to eat in my neck of the woods in fall and winter, like mast and stuff, the better they gobble, and they just seem to do it better, you know?
Huh. I mean, makes I don't think that sense, would make – I feel like that makes perfect sense, and that, you know, potentially you'd have better breeding, better poult recruitment based on the hen also being in better shape and being more capable of sitting on that nest without, you know, starving to death.
And, you know, I've seen places too, and you guys tell me if you've ever run into this. Of course, if you live where there's a lot of ag and stuff like that, then it kind of becomes irrelevant. But I've seen pockets of timber that is just absolutely just unbelievable. You know, full year water supplies all over, all kind of drainages that carry water. Tons of different kind of timber, you know, a lot of mature pine, a lot of hardwoods, everything you would think a turkey would need to thrive. But if those valleys, hollows, areas, depending on size and everything else, if they go a couple of years with a lean mass crop, because that's all that's predominantly in here, you know, large wooded ridges and hollows and so forth, that if they go a couple of years with a lean mass crops and those turkeys have to leave those spots to go find mast or food, that they will very rarely ever come back. I've had a few spots where if I walked you boys through there, you would be like, good God. Like, I mean, this is built for turkeys and hunting them and the whole nine yards. And you go in there and you may hear one gobble in there one spring, and then you may go in there for 2 years and not even see one piece of scratching. And it has everything under the sun. But I think if those places can go dormant for a couple of years, that those turkeys will keep moving so far until they find home ranges that provide more consistently, and they don't ever look in the rearview mirror. Is that just totally absurd?
Why would you look in the rear view if you got food and ready to roll?
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's absurd unique at all.
I've seen it in a few spots, and it just blows your mind because they're those spots that you want to go hunt. You want to walk through there each spring. You can cover a lot of ground, but you know you're wasting a day if you do it, you know?
Yeah, there's, and I'm sure it's the same way with both of you, but there have been plenty of places that I've walked through. And granted, now it's a 1 year, typically a 1 year experience for me, because, you know, if I'm traveling out of state, I'm usually there one time, and I'm not going to say I'm never going to go back because that'd be a lie. But, you know, I'm not seeing it year after year after year. But I mean, I've walked through places in other states, and you just walk through that stretch of woods and go, oh my God, how, I mean, this is prime turkey habitat, and there's not a lick of sign, like a turkey has never stepped foot on it, like it's the surface of the moon as far as a turkey's concerned. But it is just beautiful looking, and yeah. You know that, I mean, it makes sense. So yes, I know population dynamics have to have something to do with that,
you without know, a doubt.
This was 15, 20 years ago where there's a turkey roosted in every tree in the Southeast. There bound to have been some scratching in that little neck of woods that looks like turkey heaven at that point in time. But why have they not come back? And the obvious answer to me is just what you said. They've not come back because they found some place that is consistently providing for them instead of every other year or every third year or fifth year providing for them. So, I mean, I think it makes total sense.
Yes, it's heartbreaking when that happens to a spot, but it's, you know, with everything that's going on now that we've discussed numerous times in the past, it's, if you're not willing to roll with the punches and adapt, especially in today's game, you're gonna get left in the dust in a blink of an eye, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, for those who can, those who own their own property, it's even more reason why you want to improve your habitat for turkeys. You don't want your turkeys going to the neighbor's property. They may never come back.
Absolutely, man. What a blessing it would be to have, you know, a large parcel of land that, you know, that had habitat that was conducive for turkeys, and you had the ability to control it. That'd be a level of wealth that would be second to none, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just anything like that. But that's another thing that's kind of confusing. You know, everybody's going back and forth about all the turkeys disappearing. And once again, you know, it's back to the whole Alabama starting later on public and private, you know, debate. It's 95%+ of the state's privately owned. You know, it's, I guess, that few of the individuals responsible for the ownership of the private land are inclined to improve the habitat for the turkey. I mean, let's face it, the majority of people that own the private land, they don't hunt turkeys like, you know, we do.
Right.
Probably a small, I wish I knew the percentage of people. Cameron's in Tennessee, I'm in Alabama, you're in Alabama. I wish I knew the percentage of the public in the whole state that like turkey hunt. I think that'd be a cool statistic to know. Like, what percentage of the people that are buying hunting licenses are actually hunting turkeys? Because here, like we've mentioned before, you don't know because you're, you know, you just
you
don't
could have
know.
A $2 turkey stamp and figure that out really fast.
Man, that's an ingenious idea. I mean, why you guys have got some clout, some pull with some people. Can we get a petition going to get one of those rolling? I'll conduct a parade. We'll have a march, whatever we need to do. I don't know. I would just love to know that, you know, it seems because let's face it. It seems like everywhere you go now, there's more people doing it than there were just a few years ago. And it'd be interesting to see what the percentage has actually increased. That'd be a cool statistic to know.
Yeah.
Well,
I've been told by a listener who actually spoke with the game commissioner for Alabama that the state would entertain doing a turkey stamp as long as there was enough support for it, meaning interpret it this way. As long as my phone's not going to ring off the hook with people calling to cuss me. So how many of those cussing calls does he have to get to where he just gives up, throws his hands up in the air and says, nope, we're not doing this. I don't know what that number is. Maybe it's one. Maybe it's 1,000. I don't know. But, you know, Kenny, if you want to, I'm down with it. If you want to start a petition for a turkey stamp in the state of Alabama, I'll promote the heck out of it on this show and any
can
other place I can.
That offending you? I mean, like, I mean, if that caused a negative reaction from anyone that gives two about turkeys and turkey hunting, they're looking at it with the wrong, you know, through the wrong lens. It's I mean, that would just anything we could do to try to get our finger on it a little, you know, on the pulse a little better than this, all this guesstimating that I currently think is going on, which not saying that's what's happening. It's just the way it looks from where I'm sitting. And it's a lot of knee jerk reactions. Just a bunch of knee jerk reactions to what the next guy's doing instead of backing it up. And it's just like, I mean, let's face it. First question you boys asked me was, how was my spring? How was your spring? Both of your guys, did you guys, let's cut to the chase. Do you feel at the end of the day, because I know plenty of people that hunted Tennessee this year, even though it had that, you know, mid-April kickoff or whatever, that obviously had no problem finding their turkeys. They were into goblin turkeys in the middle of April, killing their turkeys or whatever. But, you know, it's still great. What did they drop the limit to, Cameron, from 3 to 2?
2. Yeah, we've gone from 4 to 3 to 2.
Yeah, so now you're down to 2. Well, let's face it. I mean, you get a little decent weather in mid to late April in Tennessee, you're going to find some turkeys to hunt, right?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, sure. You go the end of May, it may be a little different, you know, a little harder to find what you're looking for. But I don't know. I mean, did you guys, Andy, did you feel like that the turkey hunting this year as a whole in this part of the country was below average, average, above average? I mean, what do you guys think?
So what is average? Are we talking average over my entire turkey hunting experience or career? Or are we talking average, like 5-year average? So, you know, this, in my opinion, this season was the best season as far as gobbling turkeys go for me in at least 5 years, possibly 7. But
that's pretty strong, wouldn't you say?
I mean, yeah, coming out of last year. I could have heard 2 turkeys gobble this year and I would have almost doubled what I heard last year. But as far as that's concerned, it was a great season, you know, but was it a great season because of changes that the state of Alabama made or the state of XYZ that I went and hunted, or no. Was it a great season or a good season, however I would want to classify it, because we just so happened to have had one heck of a hatch almost across the entire country from people that we've talked to 2 years ago.
Sure.
Thanks.
So, you know, but I can't say it wasn't because of the efforts that a state game commission or one particular conservation agency or entity made or didn't make. You know, I can't, we have no way of judging that, but I do believe that a really good hatch 1 year can make for a much drastic experience 2 years afterwards.
And the flip side of that, that would have mean if you stumbled into a bunch of 2-year-old turkeys this year, that would have meant that those hens were bred in 2021, right?
Correct.
Which, if my math serves correctly, that would put us pre a lot of these changes in our part of the country. So we really didn't back our season back in move it forward in Alabama until 2022, correct? This is the second full year we've had of a delayed kickoff. This is the first year Tennessee had a delayed kickoff. And I'm not challenging all those notions of everything that they've done and all that. That's neither here nor there. But the bottom line is you just hit the nail on the head. A good hatch or a couple of good hatches can put you right back in the ball game. But just like anything else, I can look back on this thing 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. There was never a year where I could go out and the results were going to be the same as far as how many turkeys you heard and, you know, turkeys you got involved with, this, that, or whatever. I mean, you may go 1 year and, you know, turkeys just gobble every day and you're always in them and you just can't believe it. Then you may go the following spring and it'd be the polar opposite. You may go hear one turkey gobble one time, or you may actually go a day or multiple days and you don't even hear a turkey gobble. You're hunting the same country, nothing's changed, this, that, or whatever. And that's just, as I grew up turkey hunting, I kind of thought that's how it was. Like, you'd have a good year, you may have a mediocre year, you may have a bad year, you may have a year that you, one for the books. It was always kind of across the board as far as, like, you never really knew what you were going to get till you got involved with it. Yeah. And that's kind of how I've always treated it. I don't know if that was kind of a wrong way to view it or whatever, but maybe in today's world, we think that we have to go out and hear 5 or 6 every morning and have to kill one every day or every 2 days to stay in, you know, for it to be an enjoyable experience. But when I grew up, I mean, and even to this day, man, if I'm hunting around here or in the southeastern part of the country, if I hear a turkey gobble, boss, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, if I hear 2 or 3 turkeys gobbling where I hunt, man, I am really happy. Like, that's, yeah. But that's how it's been since I've been hunting them in the area I hunt them in. Like, we don't have the history of going out here and hearing 15 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just like anything else. I mean, you have peaks and valleys and everything else. And I think that, if the valley has a little bit of, you know, width to it, if that's the proper way to reference it, or if the gap is a little wider, with our lack of patience in today's world, we tend to panic maybe a little too soon. I'm not saying there's not issues with any of this stuff. That's not where I'm going. But like I mentioned earlier, these knee-jerk reactions and this, let's completely derail this thing and make a change that we're probably never, ever going to go back and put it back the way it used to be. It just seems to be like that, I don't know. You go out, you have the best year you've had in 7 years. That says a lot. If you had a pathetic year, the worst year you've had in 7 years, well, that would kind of fit the bill a little better, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Big Daddy? What about you, Cameron?
So I had kind of an interesting year here in the home state. It was good. It wasn't great. And a lot of that is 2 of the main areas I used to hunt are in quota hunts now starting this year. So, and I did not draw.
Isn't that fun? I could say the same thing about some places that I've hunted for years and now I can never hunt them again.
Yeah. So every 3 or 4 years I get to go back, but
yeah, it
really changed plans up for me, I guess. And so the private land we have was great. And the public spots I did hunt were good to above average. And then I would say in my travels everywhere, nowhere in particular that I went east of the Mississippi was well above average, like to very good for my experience. And everything west of the Mississippi was about like it's always been. It
sure
wasn't. Well, one state Andy and I went to was terrible, but I've never been there before. And we both got turkeys, so I guess it wasn't terrible, but it was tough. But west of the Mississippi was about what I expected. And then east of Mississippi was pleasantly, surprisingly good. And it wasn't a shock. I think Andy and I both had talked about, and I told my brothers and my friends and stuff that this was going to be a great turkey season. There's going to be a lot of 2-year-old gobblers ready to go this year. And it was absolutely the case because there were so many Jakes last year. I mean, I saw them, you know, on where everywhere I went and hunted, I would see Jakes. So I knew this year should, unless something crazy happened, have a lot of 2-year-old gobblers. And it seemed to be the case. So it was really good. I mean, in my opinion, it was very good. And, you know, I've seen the poll data for states in the Southeast from 22 last year. And some of the states with the earliest openers had the highest poult per hen ratios, you know, and then some of the states with the latest openers had the worst. And the Tennessee study they did had the same correlation of the delay did not in any way increase poult production. So I'm kind of with you on the delay notion. The only positive I've seen from the delayed season in Tennessee is that it did reduce non-resident pressure. And I mean, that's coming from being, you know, a little bit selfish in that, hey, I'm happy if nobody else wants to come here. You know, I like to travel though, but hey, I don't want more competition in the turkey woods ever. So there's a little bit of selfishness in the game, but it did. I got the numbers. It did reduce our non-resident pressure by anywhere from about 13% to 20%.
That's huge.
Over the previous year. So, and that makes sense. I mean, when we come in now, you know, not before Kentucky, not before Illinois, not before Missouri, like it makes sense. There's so many more states open by April 15th than it was prior. You know, when we would open April 1, we were kind of the earliest opener north of Alabama and Mississippi. But yeah, I would say I had a great year hunting eastern wild turkeys east of the Mississippi. I would say it was a wonderful year.
I know it, man. And two things you said that really hit home. One, you talk about the poult to hen ratio in 2022. Man, I've hunted a few states in our neck of the woods this spring, and I had no problem finding young gobblers, period.
Yeah.
Buckle up. Next, that's what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, next buckle up. I mean, next spring could be, you know, one thing funny about Jakes, and y'all tell me if you ever run into this. How many times you go to a spot, let's say this past spring, you go in a spot, you're sitting there turkey hunting or whatever, and all of a sudden you're calling and you look down, here comes turkey coming through woods. He's either yelping or he half gobbles or maybe he full gobbles. Who knows? And then here comes one. Here comes next thing you know, you got a half dozen young gobblers or Jakes right there. And you're like, man, look at here. Look at here. Ooh, it's going to be good in here next spring, right? Well, then next spring rolls around. How many times do you see a bunch of Jakes in one area? You go back the following year. Yeah, there may be a turkey goblin in there, but there's not 3-4. I know they split up. We know all that. But there's not a gobbler behind every freaking tree or in every hollow or on every ridgetop. It's funny because you can see lots of Jakes in certain areas and certain, you know, when you hunt. And your mind automatically takes you to next spring, it's going to just be jam up in here. Sure, you may go in there and kill a turkey or two the following year, but it seems like Jakes have a magical way of disappearing the year that they should be 2-year-olds. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Y'all ever run into that?
In Alabama all the time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not that there may be a great number of turkeys gobbling that spring as a whole, but obviously they're more spread out or whatever. But back to the point. So, yeah, I think that I've seen a lot of Jakes or young gobblers this spring in the Southeast. And then your other point with the late start and the non-resident pressure, any man that says he doesn't want less people near him in this game, he's just lying. I mean, I mean, anything you can do to thin the herd out, by all means, do it. And the only problem is you don't want to lose a lot of valuable time at a good time of the year doing so. But if you can only kill two turkeys and you get the middle of April, you can work that out, you know, given the weather and the time, you know, allowed to hunt them. But I agree with you, man. The problem is they bumped it down here, you know. Now we kick it off the 1st of April or, you know, the last day of March, 1st of April, however it falls. And it's still so early compared to the other, you know, states that we're still getting quite a few boys come rolling in here that's aggravating. It's not as bad as it was, but it's still bad enough to make you, you know, to get under your skin.
Yeah.
But it's...
It looked like a freaking
widespread panic concert down here this spring. You know, some of the gates. You didn't know whether to go pull up and turkey hunt or go buy a cheeseburger and a hit acid or something. You know, just freaking, you never know what you're getting these days.
That's true.
You know, like you were saying about our delay again with Tennessee, it was, you know, with them dropping it to two birds, when they did that simultaneously, people seemed to really focus on the fact that the season got moved back. And like, I'm not trying to act higher than thou or, you know, almighty or something, but my point was like, they dropped it to two birds, man. Like, if you can't kill one from April, you know, two turkeys from April 15 to May 31 or whatever, then like, you probably weren't going to kill two if they opened it April 1.
Or March 1. Absolutely. Yeah.
You have ample opportunity to go get your two turkeys if you want and can, you know, it don't matter when they open at that point. So the focus for me was like, it really kind of sucks that it went down to two from three, because you punished the 2% of hunters who actually could kill three. But
exactly. I've argued that for years since, you know, back when I started this, probably Andy too, you could kill six in Alabama. Now, I'm not saying we should be able to go kill six, you know, here or whatever, but even before they dropped the limit from five to four, once again, I don't have the numbers, so I'm just guessing. And majority of this is just hearsay from listening to other turkey hunters talk or other people talk about other turkey hunters or whatever. And before we changed any of this stuff here, I still think you had a very small percentage of the guys that went out and turkey hunted. And I'm in the same camp you are. I'm not throwing shade at these guys or not above them or anything like that at all. But you still had a very slim percentage of the people doing it that were killing their five turkeys. And I mean, we theoretically had most years from the middle of March to the end of April to kill five turkeys. And the majority of the people, now granted, look, if you only can hunt weekends and you can't ever slip out during the week and you've only got those weekends to hunt, listen, you're going to have to hit it just about right.
Yep. Weather's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be perfect.
It really does. And you nailed it. And you have to think, guys, my mindset is based on hunting the area that I hunt, because that's really kind of all I know around here. So if you had 10,000 acres in Alabama that you could manage for turkeys and all that, especially if you had some open fields where you could put your eyes on them, because it didn't matter at that point if they're gobbling or not, but then you have a leg up. But if you're just hunting timber and, you know, the timber and it's public, or let's say you can't manage the pressure, let's put it that way. Yeah, you may be stretched to kill five just on the weekends, but I still think the majority of the people that turkey hunt, a large percentage of them probably were not killing five when we could kill five over the course of 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and that's not a knock, you know, it's just truth.
Like, Tennessee actually published this year how many successful hunters killed one and two, and 76% of the harvest was a person's first bird, and then that dropped to 24% to a second bird. So, I mean, that's a massive drop.
Can you kill bearded hens in Tennessee, Cameron?
Oh, yeah, we killed 181 of them, so we didn't need them anyway.
That's legal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once again, going back to using your position, like, I don't get that. but I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I really don't. I don't get it. And I know I'm the kid sitting on the back of the bus who doesn't know when to get on or get off. I get all that. But that just doesn't register with me. Now, there are accidents. I understand that. People may jump the gun or something like that. But I don't understand the mindset.
You need to get a ticket. If you make that kind of accident and you shoot a bearded hen, you need a ticket.
I'm not going to argue with you there.
What? Seriously. And is getting a ticket the worst thing in the world?
Not if it prevents you from ever doing that again.
Nobody wants one. But if it prevents you from doing it again, you know, and what you said, you know, I understand people are going to make a mistake. They are. But when I get in my truck and I drive 50 and a 35 down the road, am I making a mistake that all I have to do is pay attention, a little closer attention to, oh, well, there's a speed limit sign and I'm, oh, wait, let me look down. There's the speedometer. Oh, hey, I'm going over the speed limit. If you're shooting a turkey in the head and you can't tell that that turkey's head is not red and the size of a male wild turkey and you squeeze the trigger, I'm sorry, you deserve to get a ticket.
I mean, seriously, man, when's the last time either one of you dudes went and slid into a tree, got to yelp into a turkey or whatever? Cameron pulled out his gobbler decoy, stuck it down, and the turkey came running. Yeah, your chicken on a stick. And you know, this thing comes running into you, and you all of a sudden, in just this unbelievable tense moment, shoulder your gun and drill it at 25, and you run out there to get it, and you're like, God dang it, it's a hen. I mean, like,
yep.
I'd be willing to bet you that's probably never happened.
No, that never that one happened. I'm colorblind to red, and like, I cannot see the red in a turkey's head, and I've never, ever thought at within gun range killing distance, oh, that could be a gobbler when I see a hen. And like, I can't even see the full colorations of a gobbler's head, but they don't look that similar. They look completely different compared to a gadwall and a hen mallard, which the federal game wardens expect you to be able to identify while flying by.
You know, when something seems too good to be true, 9 times out of 10, it is. So let me try to roll that over into this. Hens with beards are not rarities. If I'm not mistaken, I read years ago, and this may be a little high, but I swear Lovett Williams wrote that up to 30% of hens can have beards. That may be high. Granted, I'm not the sharpest reader in either, but far more hens have beards, I think, than a lot of people realize. It's not like if you see a bearded hen, you're seeing a Boone and Crockett buck or a gobbler that has 2-inch spurs. Bottom line is, hens that have beards, they can still breed and reproduce just like a hen that doesn't have a beard. That has no bearing on mating, right?
For sure. I've seen it on one of my own farms.
Okay, so let's take it a step farther. Let's say that hen that you hit with the strutting decoy, that you drilled at 25 yards, that you're so excited.
I don't shoot them unless they're 70 plus, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, let's say you didn't see this one. She got a tree on you. When she popped out, she was 25. So she popped out at 25, and you just can't believe that this turkey, you actually let this turkey get within, you know, 60 yards of you. And now you've shot her, and now you're just tore up from the floor up, because guess what? Camera phone's coming out, Cameron. Instagram time, Big Daddy. So you're rolling out there with the hen. Guess what? What if she was laying eggs? What if she had a nest?
Yep.
What if she's in the process of providing next year's clutch of turkeys?
Yep.
Now you got you a 5-inch beard, the diameter of a pencil. You put that on dash of the truck next to the big set of antlers that hangs from your rearview mirror, and you can just show everybody what a badass you really are, you know? I don't know, children, I don't know. I can't speak for letting kids kill things like that. But bottom line, if it's illegal, you're going to reduce a lot of these hens that are getting killed. I just don't understand the sporting logic behind killing a female just because she has some whiskers growing out of her chest. I don't.
Well,
like I said, that's just me, and it's one man's opinion, and nobody's saying that I'm right.
Well,
it just
no,
doesn't make sense to me.
You are correct, and I can tell you how I know that, because Oklahoma had, they just did a study that came out this year, and it was Coulter, Chitwood, and Dwayne Elmore, I believe, and some other guys. They did this huge study where they basically like went through every paper ever done on turkeys. And anyway, it was just, it was a massive study throughout Oklahoma, and they found that the number one management tool that can be used to increase turkey populations, and I quote, "management efforts that focus on increasing the survival and productivity of adult females will likely have the greatest effect on wild turkey population growth." So they found that two-year-old breeding females, their survival was one of the most key components to increasing turkey populations. So
are you, are either of you floored by that statement, by those findings?
Not really.
No, but it, I mean, at least they put it into like perspective, because they're, you know,
without a doubt,
it is easy for people to think, oh, we got to get more poults, we got to get more poults. Well, the hen needs to survive. If she's got years and years to hopefully replace herself to the 12th degree if she lives.
Yep.
I mean, this is
so
simple.
True.
As if you got a drug problem and you want to get off drugs, let's quit hanging out with people that are doing drugs. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. Remove yourself from the environment that could possibly pose a potential threat. It's the same thing with this. Let's quit killing the hens in the spring. If you, if you're in Pennsylvania and Virginia and New York and you want to send a dog down in a flock of them in the middle of November and bust them up and key them back in or whatever, knock yourself out. Kill you a few, whatever. But I don't think in mid-April, when you yelp up a hen and, oh, God dang, she's got a beard, let's kill her. I don't, I just, maybe if you think, man, are we going to be able to get back to the truck with the breasts in the back and slip out of here before we get caught with her? That's going to be a little different than, yeah, we can shoot her, no problem. No harm, no foul. I just, and I know the majority of the guys doing this are not killing hens. Don't get me wrong. But that small percentage of them that are, who probably will never listen to anything the three of us say, I just wish they didn't have that option. That's
so, yeah, that's a good point that I want to just throw out there, you know, one way to look at it. Because some people would say they killed 181 hen turkeys in the state, across the entire state of Tennessee, and you guys are going to raise a fuss about that. 181 hens died because of a shotgun blast, and you guys are going to make a big deal about that. Well, here's my counter argument to that. Look at the number of birds that the NWTF transplanted in a lot of these states around the country when they were transplanting turkeys back in the 70s and 80s. A lot of states got less than 181 turkeys, and they have huntable populations in those states. So you're right. It is 181 hens across the entire state. But those 181 hens are adding to the population. Now, I want to say one other thing about this topic. Kenny, if you, and of course we're going to pray this never happens, but if you just went out after work one day and you might have had a beer and a half too much before you left the bar, or when you left the bar and were driving home. And
we always end up in the bar when we talk to Kenny, I've noticed also, but go ahead.
And you rounded a curve in the road, and God forbid you hit a woman. She was standing in the road, her fault or not her fault. You hit her, killed her, and she was pregnant. Are you going to stand one count of manslaughter or two? In the state you live in, I'm going to bet you're going to stand trial for two counts. So,
rightfully so.
So why I'm not saying turkeys are the equivalent of humans. Please don't take me wrong. But the logic is there, is it not?
So you're saying if they squeeze the trigger on the bearded hen and you find the nest nearby, they've exceeded the limit. You know, if there's 12 eggs.
Cameron, that is brilliant. I wasn't going that far, but since you did, I love it. Yeah, now you're over the limit, and you need to have your license revoked. No, seriously, I mean, we work hard in a lot of states around this country, and I know there are some states out there that do allow does to be killed after the rut. So I do know does. That that happens. What's that?
So people protect does because we can shoot three a day here.
Well, yes. Some people are trying to protect, to some extent, the future of the population. And those does are the future of the deer population. But, you know, a lot of states, their season, when the rut ends, their season ends. A lot of hunters, deer hunters out there say, well, you know, when we're not going to shoot any does once the rut starts. You know, whether it's a hunting club that has that rule or what have you. So, I mean, I don't know. It just, you go across all different animal species, and what we try to do is protect the female in those animal species. But yet, we're going to allow some folks to whack a hen turkey during breeding season.
Well, I mean, think about it. They're going to all the trouble to back the seasons up 2 weeks and in Cameron State and what we're dealing with here in Alabama and all these other rules everywhere else and quota hunts here and this, that, or whatever. Well, let's start by doing some obvious things. I mean, like, pretty simple. Just throw the regulation book out on the table, let everybody with some clout gather around it, and anyone with half a brain should go, hey, well, wait a minute. It's legal here to kill hens. Well, we're trying to increase our population. What's the first thing we should do? Well, let's get rid of that one right there. That's one step that's like way easier to obtain than say, you know what we'll do? They can kill hens, but let's back the season off a couple weeks and we're just going to run a turkey hunt all the way through August. And, you know, they can hunt when the rattlesnakes are 110% full bore and the mosquitoes are out and the turkeys aren't doing a thing but hunkering under shade trees all day. I don't know. Some of this stuff seems so obvious, but yet if it's that obvious, there has to be a catch. I don't know. But you don't ever hear people talking about people killing hens. And you just got to think that how many hens are lost due to predation and everything else out there that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And then here we are, we're adding gas to the fire by just saying, you know what, to hell with all the other hens that are killed. Let's go ahead and blast a few. I don't care if it's 180, 380. I could care less. If you kill 100, you've killed 100 too many. It's just, you know, it's that simple. Let's just kill gobblers in the spring. If you want to kill a hen in the fall and it's legal, knock yourself out. Can't those guys that want to kill bearded hens in the spring just wait and hunt in the fall? Jeez.
I mean, my point back, and this brings me back to one of my main points.
And I know we're getting off track, boys. I'm sorry.
Well, we're not. We're talking turkeys, aren't we? Yes. When they were reducing the bag limit from 4 to 3 to now 2 here, one of my main thoughts was we kill on average 4,280 jakes per year and then another 275 hens per year. That's the average. That's 4,500 turkeys. We kill people who are killing 3 turkeys were killing way less than that. So instead of taking 3 down to 2, what if we just had a jake restriction and you couldn't kill hens? Well, I mean,
those hunters who were killing hens and killing jakes would now be have to stay out there to kill their third turkey. See.
How many jakes did you say? 4,000 what?
It was 4,280 jakes per year.
Let's take a C-130 and let's fill it full of 4,000 turkeys, jakes. Let's fly it over a football field, drop them out the back, and you look at the size and the volume of 4,000 dead turkeys laying in a pile. That's a pile of dead turkeys. Yes, it's small compared to a state that's killing 25,000 to 35,000 birds a spring. I get that. But still, 4,000 turkeys is a lot of turkeys.
Well, I mean, you're taking a third gobbler, male adult gobbler, who's had a chance to hopefully breed and reproduce himself out of the bag yet allowing ones, A, jakes, who have no chance to reproduce, and B, hens, who are trying to reproduce when you kill them. What if we just took those out? That's about 12% of the harvest, and 12% of the harvest was not accounted for with the third bird. So to me, it just made sense, but apparently it's
makes
a scary
a ton
place
of sense.
In my mind.
I can remember when Mississippi, I think they were the first, maybe they're the only, you guys correct me, state in the country that where it's illegal to kill a jake. Is that correct?
Arkansas.
How long has that been in Arkansas? Is it new or is it old? I have no
clue.
It's
new.
It's relatively okay. New. Yeah, in the last 4 years or so.
So, yeah, two states out of the whole shebang that's illegal. You know what? I'm going to be that guy. I have no problem with that. I'm not going to – now, granted, we've been doing this a lot longer than a lot of guys have, but maybe it's an acquired taste. I don't know what it is, but even when I started in this game, I wanted to kill adults. I never thought I can kill just a jake anytime I go hunting because I'm new or I haven't killed a lot of turkeys or whatever. I wanted to kill an adult turkey even from the start. I mean – it's like going home early. What is it? Go ugly early. I mean, I'm willing to stay late and see if I can, you know, maybe pull something I shouldn't pull. It's the same with turkey hunting. Like, set your standards high. And I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I was talking to somebody today at work and we were just totally just unloading about how lazy today's youth are. It's just, you guys probably know it. And we were just, I was like, I just, when I mean youth, I mean, some of these guys are 30 years old. And I'm like, you know, why in the world is everybody that you deal with in today's world that's younger so lazy? And his comment was, man, it's so much of it has to be on parenting. And I can't vouch for that. That was just one man's answer. And it's kind of similar to what we're talking about. I think this whole turkey hunting thing, like, we all want everybody that's going to do it or is doing it to view it the way we view it. Don't kill jakes. Don't shoot bearded hens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this thing the right way. You know, I mean, however you want to hunt them is fine as far as decoys, no decoys or whatever. I mean, I have an opinion on that too, but it's all irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. But like, we don't, some of the guys you bump into in the woods, I'm sure, but it happens to both of you. You walk away from them and you're like, holy I hope this guy decides to quit today. Like, I mean, I will buy your gun off you and that call if you promise to never come do this again. You know,
that's every hunter I bump into in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I will buy you a membership at the community swimming pool. Do you want a golf membership? What do you want? But let's do all we can do to get you involved in something else. You know what I mean? But it is. I mean, you know, so many of these people are, they don't, I don't know. If you grow up doing it now, like we've hashed out numerous, numerous times before, it's like, it's, I don't know. It's, I guess it's how you're raised and how you view it and how you grow up hunting, or let's face it, so many people getting into it now are already older in life. But yeah, it just shouldn't take a rocket scientist to realize that you shouldn't be shooting hens in the spring. And if your family's starving to death, and you're very limited on funds, and we all know groceries are through the roof right now, this, that, or whatever. And you really need that meat, and you want to go kill a jake, your kids and everything are relying on it. Look, no problem. But if you're going out there like 90%+ of us, or even a higher percentage than that, just for sporting reasons, let's face it, guys, there's not a, I don't know, I just don't see a lot of sense in shooting jakes either, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And that's going to piss a lot of your listeners off, but I don't see a whole lot of point in it.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I would be very much a proponent of a jake ban that would maybe allow 16 and under and disabled to still harvest jakes. And that
exactly.
Would be about it.
Don't knock everyone out, but let's, the guys that, you know, if you're disabled or you're a youth, let's not remove their ability to go enjoy it. Very, very good point. But if you know, if you're like us or whatever, and you've been doing that, you just, I don't know. I just, you should.
If you're an able-bodied adult in your Sitka gear with your, you know, chicken on a stick and your 10 gauge TSS, you probably shouldn't be taking jakes.
or bearded hens.
Yeah, pretty easy. It's pretty simple, but I don't know, man. It's a trip. It is a trip. I mean, whoever thought, just, I think the first time I ever talked to you guys, whoever thought in this sport that we, everyone, that every guy's just, you got, I don't know all the topics y'all talk about with your guests, but, you know, the things that predominantly are the main focal point of any turkey hunting conversation that's happened in the past 3 years, it seems like they're far more negative than they are positive. It's almost like you got a bunch of women involved now. It's just gone to hell in a handbasket, you know?
Yeah, there's some truth to that.
Email is kennymount@gmail.com.
But I mean, seriously, let's say the three of us were sitting around right now drinking beer, and then all of a sudden three or four women came up and sat at the table with us. Well, that conversation just went to hell, you know? Oh, I'm just goodness. Kidding, man.
Well, another good one.
That's just part one.
Oh, yeah. We got another hour or so next week for you guys. So we got plenty of Kenny coming to you.
Kenny is that opera singer who gets better at, like, you know, the ninth hour of singing.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's just getting warmed up here in this first 45 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah.
Call. So,
yeah. Next week we got the story with the guy on the airplane that was quite the laugh.
Yeah.
So we got some more laughs for you next week, you know. So, guys, make sure y'all come back for that. And if you're just now kind of tuning back in, there's a lot of good episodes that we recorded in the off season that you may have missed. So make sure you go back and check some of those out. You know, we had Matt Van Sice on. We've had, you know, Adam Butler down there in Mississippi was good. Dr. Grant Woods, Walter Parrott. You know, we had a two-part episode with Walter Parrott. He was a first-time interview. Yeah. Chip Gross was great. RT Stewart 1 and 2. Man, what a story that was.
Heck yeah.
So go back, check out some of those older shows. If you're just now kind of tuning back in with spring on the horizon, you got plenty of content to keep you entertained and just keep you waiting, chomping at the bit if you hadn't gotten to start yet. Congrats to all of our successful youth and adults who've gotten turkeys down there in Florida.
Yeah, man.
And Hawaii.
Seeing some pics on the gram. So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, well.
Good deal. Well, guys.
You have a favor of the week?
I think that should be the favor of the week. Go check out some of those older episodes. Make us feel good about recording in June, you know?
I'm going to add a part two to the favor of the week.
And go check out the store. You need to go look at the store.
I'm going to add a part C to the favor of the week.
Perfect.
All right. If you like any or all of the episodes that you're going to go back and listen to because you're just joining us again, and leave us a review on your podcast player app, if you don't mind. That's huge. That's a great way to give back to us. Also, all right, here comes part four of the favor of the week. Don't forget about Patreon. So we have a Patreon account now, and our Patreon members are getting some special benefits and is worth going to check out. There's also a link in the show notes for Patreon. So go learn to see what the Patreon subscribers are getting that you're not getting and sign up. Man, we'd love to have you. We're doing our first hangout for our Patreon members this coming Monday at 7:30 p.m. So if you want to join us for that and have an adult beverage or your favorite brand of apple juice with us, you're welcome to at 7:30 Central Time next Monday, March the 11th. So
yeah, that link's on Patreon. And, you know, this episode, their talk with Kenny's pre-recorded, but some of our upcoming interviews, you guys will hear that our Patreon members get to ask questions of our upcoming interviews. It's a pretty big perk for somebody listening to a podcast to be able to ask questions of the guests.
Yeah.
So you'll hear that in future episodes. Plus, they're getting bonus content. You know, we're taking part of this Kenny Mount interview, putting it only in Patreon. So only those guys will know the secrets of Kenny Mount.
Yes. And they're deep and dark.
All right. I think you ought to wrap it on up.
Let's do it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We know that you have choices. We appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you have a wonderful week. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Turkey Hunter podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please go on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And make sure to head over to www.iamturkeyhunting.com to subscribe for free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews to help you have a more successful turkey season. And stay tuned for upcoming episodes on hunting afternoon birds, how to film your hunt, and the breeding cycle of hens, as well as some guest interviews. Thanks again for listening. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you sharing some of it with us. See you next week.